It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Well, a new ad by the Latino Victory Fund in the Virginia governor's race portrays supporters of Republican Ed Gillespie as violent racists who want to murder kids. Think we're overstating? Watch this. Emily Tish Sussman is the campaign director for the Center for American Progress Action Fund, and she joins us today. Emily, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So I watched this ad. I've seen a lot of tough political ads, you know, over decades of watching it, and I thought, you know, they're actually just pushing race war here. That's what this is the most single most disgusting, unfair thing I've ever seen. I'm not any great Ed Gillespie partisan at all. But, like, I don't see any justification for running something like that.
Well, I think the justification is the fact that it's really just putting a mirror up to the campaign that Gillespie has running. I think a lot of Republicans, I know a lot of Republicans, are really disgusted with the campaign that he's been running. It's a lot of race baiting.
Give me one example of Ed Gillespie's race baiting.
By putting the Confederate statues at the center of his campaign, by running ads that imply that most people that are immigrants are related to MS-13 or defending MS-13.
Well, he hasn't said that most people relate who are immigrants or connected to MS-13. I've watched it really carefully. I mean, by the way, Ed Gillespie is on the liberal scale on immigration, to put it mildly. I mean, I'm not attacking him, just saying, like, he's nowhere near Donald Trump on immigration, or me for that matter. Where has he said most immigrants sympathize with MS-13? I've heard him say point blank, MS-13 preys upon immigrants.
Look, the ads that he is running are race baiting because they are making people fearful. They're bringing out the worst in people. They're trying to drive people to the polls.
All right, so there you go. That's a discussion last night on Tucker Carlson talking about the Virginia 2017 elections, which come up next Tuesday. Now, it's an amazing thing. You may wonder, why would I talk about Virginia? Why would Tucker on a national show talk so much about Virginia? There are 50 states. Because Virginia is, you know, in the vortex of Washington, D.C. And so much of what happens there is a microcosm of what is happening nationwide. And there are several races there, including the one of the governor's race, that kind of put a spotlight on the resources and approach of the left. Emily Tish Sussman, again, is the campaign director for the Center for American Progress. That's John Podesta's outfit. That's the group that's the think tank that writes so much of the policy for the far left. And John Podesta, as I have described many times before, is part of the far left, and she works for him. And so this ad that you could hear but not see, by the way, we'll post this on our Facebook page, shows a white male driving a very large truck with a Don't Tread on Me license plate and an Ed Gillespie sticker. And the truck is chasing children down streets. It's got a couple of Muslim kids, Hispanic kids, and they're running for their lives as this angry white man driving this truck that says, Don't Tread on Me, Ed Gillespie, is trying to run them down. It's just amazing. It really is. I think Tucker's right. It is the most outrageous campaign ad I've ever seen. And, of course, as Tucker described, Ed Gillespie is not a champion on immigration enforcement. Marco Rubio is doing a fundraiser for him. This is not what Ed Gillespie leads with. And so that's the irony of the whole thing. He's running against Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam, who is Terry McAuliffe's choice in this race. And of course, you can imagine that Ralph Northam is very much like Terry McAuliffe. And of course, if he is elected, there will be no immigration laws enforced if he has his way about it at all. So that's the governor's race that's taking place on Tuesday. Then you have the attorney general's race. And certainly, You may not remember, but you need to know that when gay marriage was on the front headlines, Virginia was one of those states that completely ignored the amendment that the people of Virginia had passed to make marriage sacred between one man and one woman. And it was Mark Herring, the attorney general, newly elected, who completely ignored the law, the statute, refused to defend it in court, and totally caved. And when President Trump issued his temporary travel ban on passengers who happened to be from several Muslim-majority countries, it was Mark Herring, the attorney general, who rushed to Dulles Airport to join Terry McAuliffe at a press conference to denounce Donald Trump. And he refused to defend the law in federal court on marriage. He did not defend Virginia's voter ID or state regulations on abortion clinics. So that is Mark Herring, who is Virginia's current state attorney general. He's being challenged by, this is really interesting, a relative of President John Adams, who is named John Adams. John Adams, by the way, was a law clerk for Clarence Thomas, a federal prosecutor, and also associate counsel in President George W. Bush's White House. So that's his challenger. They've been having various debates. I think the races in this case are both very, very close. Virginia has been turned into a purple state. It has, I don't know what the stats are on immigration, but I could just tell you that there are a probably disproportionate amount of illegal immigrants in Virginia. You can see it with your eyes, or at least legal immigrants as well. So the state is changing, and it's changing on purpose. So I wanted to focus on some of their races today in the show. And I also wanted to spotlight the fact that their election is this coming Tuesday. And I had the privilege of hearing a candidate speak at the Goochland Tea Party event last Thursday night, who was just very winsome. I liked him. And I think he has a great story. And I just wanted you to meet him. His name is John McGuire. He's running for a delegate from the 56th District in Virginia. He's a former Navy SEAL. He's the owner of what's called SEAL Team Physical Training. He's a motivational speaker, and there's a lot more to say about him, but I want to just at least hear his voice. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Sandy. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Well, you have a great story, but let's start with that. You were a Navy SEAL for 10 years. That's not a small thing. And I guess probably one would ask, why did you do that? I mean, why Navy SEALs?
Well, you know, what's interesting is, not many children listen to politicians, but I still remember as a child listening to Ronald Reagan. He would talk about being part of something bigger than yourself. He would talk about a shiny beacon on the hill. He talked about building a 600-ship Navy, and I got inspired. And, I wanted to be a pilot back in the day. I took karate in high school, and my sensei was a Green Beret in Vietnam. And back then, they had the movie Top Gun. You probably remember that.
Oh, no, I'm too young. I don't remember that movie. I'm way too young, John. I do remember,
yeah,
yes.
So, you know, back then, you know, the motorcycle, I was the only kid in high school who rode a motorcycle. I wanted to be a pilot. You know, the movie, I really liked it. And he said, so I told my sensei I wanted to be a pilot. And he said, well, if you become a Green Beret, you are a weapon. If you become a pilot and they take your plane away, you're no good. And I said, that's all good. I still want to be a pilot. But then one day someone handed me a magazine called Gung Ho, and it said Toughest Men Alive. It said you had a better chance of becoming president of the United States. It had scuba diving, it had explosives and sniper rifles and, you know, boats and submarines, you know, anything any red-blooded American boy would like. So I took this magazine to my sensei, and I said, what about these guys? And he said, they're a bunch of crazy mother. And then he goes, oh, by the way, you're too small and you can never make it. And maybe that was the psychology. I don't like people putting limits on me. And I wanted to be challenged and see how, you know, I wanted to serve my country. And so I decided to go that direction.
Yeah, and as I understand it, you had 200 men in your class. Only 19 graduated, and you were one of them, of SEAL Team 6, which is just an amazing accomplishment, John. And I know that you can't say a lot about SEAL Team 6 is like, you know, very special operations. And until the killing of Osama bin Laden, we didn't really know that much about them. And now I think under the Obama administration, too much was revealed about SEAL Team 6. So I don't know what you can and cannot say. But Can you say anything about what you accomplished as a member of the SEAL Team 6?
Well, one thing I would say is that, we don't need to know who killed Osama bin Laden. We just need to know that, Americans were defended. Whether you make a lot of money or hardly any money, all Americans have value. And we got Osama bin Laden. That's great. But we don't even know it was SEALs. So you're right about that. In fact, when I wanted to become a Navy SEAL, they were still kind of secret. So you'd go to the library and you couldn't find anything on them. I also want to say this is that this morning I've been working since 5 a.m., so I don't have all the details. But apparently, the Navy SEALs captured last night one of the men responsible for the attack in Benghazi. So that's a kudos to the boys who got that done last night. I also say this is that I served all over the world, but I would say the young men and women today serving in our military do more in a year these days than I did in 10 years. But most of my time was counter-drug type missions in different places in the world, mostly South Central America, and probably can't talk too much about it.
Yeah. Well, all right. But let's go back in time a little bit, John, because part of your story is pretty amazing. You tell the story about how, life, it wasn't like you grew up with a military father and mom who trained you and nurtured you and took you to Sunday school. And that wasn't your background at all. You said that when you were 5, your mother left you on the streets in Richmond and just deserted you. That in itself is just a stunning story. You don't expand on that, but I have to tell you, John, what went through my mind was 5. I have a 5-year-old granddaughter and a 4-year-old mm-hmm. grandson. I can't imagine. I can still remember when I was 5 having my mother. I can't imagine having my mother leave me. Can you remember that moment and what led up to it? Anything you can say about that?
I guess you and I both can imagine, and we both know stories of people who have it way worse. And, life is tough for all of us, but no matter how tough you think it is, it could always be tougher. And I think life is amazing. And it's how you, we all go through adversity, and you probably heard me say, is when going through adversity, you have a choice to become a victim or become a fighter. And I was abandoned at 5, and I ended up in foster homes. I went to 9 different elementary schools, and I got kicked out of school for fighting a little bit, but it's debatable. I turned out okay. I mentor people. I'm a motivational speaker. And, I say you can't do anything about your past, but you can do something about today and something about your future. So I'll tell you a crazy story, though, is my grandfather was a World War II veteran, and he was probably the toughest man I ever met. Him and my grandmother had raised their children, but they ended up rescuing me and my older sister from foster homes and getting us through high school. And I was a Navy SEAL sniper doing a mission somewhere in the world, and I had to go to the extract to go back to base, and the American Red Cross had called, and my grandmother had passed away. So they flew me back to Virginia, and I went to the funeral, and they got an open casket, and you're paying your respects. And a woman tapped me on the arm one day during this situation and said, "Hey, John, how are you?" And I said, "I'm doing okay. Who are you?" And she goes, "I'm your mom." That's kind of crazy, isn't it? But the truth is, I didn't really feel anything. I didn't have a relationship with her.
Was that her mother that died?
No.
It was my
father's mother.
Yeah. There are so many stories to be told about your life. Let me just say that John went on to get married, and he has 5 children. I met his wife last Thursday night, who was absolutely delightful. I bet there's a whole story about that, John. She's got to be a big part of your personal life. And we're going to continue our discussion with him in just a minute. He's running for delegate in the 56th District of Virginia, which the race is coming up on Tuesday. We're going to talk about the race, but also more about his life, so stay tuned. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Do U.S. Special Operations Forces and FBI agents captured Mustafa al-Imam in a high-stakes joint operation along Libya's north coast in an unknown location. Imam, a member of the Islamic group Ansar al-Sharia, is believed to have played an instrumental role in the Benghazi attacks 5 years ago that killed four Americans. You remember them? U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens, Glenn Doherty, Sean Smith, and Tyrone Woods. President Trump gave the orders for this operation, and in a statement, he says, quote, "To the families of these fallen heroes, I want you to know that your loved ones are not forgotten, and they will never be forgotten. Our memory is deep, and our reach is long, and we will not rest in our efforts to find and bring the perpetrators of this heinous attacks in Benghazi to justice." The Trump administration's vigorous investigation has been different from the Obama administration, which has been criticized for the way it handled it. Multiple congressional investigations have sought to determine if the Obama administration willfully misled the public when former UN ambassador Susan Rice appeared on numerous shows blaming the attack on a controversial video.
There was a hateful video, a direct result of a heinous and offensive video. This is a response to a hateful and offensive video. Violent protest outside of our embassy sparked by this hateful video.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions has weighed in, calling this a barbaric attack that shocked the American people, and added in a statement, "The United States will continue to investigate and identify all those who were involved in the attack, and we will hold them accountable for their crimes." Sessions says al-Imam will be brought to D.C. and charged in federal court. And earlier this month, I should point out that another man, Ahmed Abu Katala, went on trial here in D.C. for his alleged role in the attack as well.
Well, it's pretty amazing. It's been about 5 years since Benghazi took place, 9/11, 2012. And of course, four Americans were killed. And as we have spoken about before, justice is important. Very important. That was a story that broke just a few days ago. So Mustafa al-Imam will be brought back to America, and maybe that's the beginning of justice for the families who have suffered so much. It wasn't just four killed. There were dozens injured, seriously injured, who were asked to sign orders never to speak about it under the Obama administration, not allowed to talk about it. It's just a shocking story. So maybe some justice will be done there. And as our guest just told us, John McGuire, who is a former Navy SEAL. It was the Navy SEALs who went after Mustafa. I did not know that, John McGuire, until you told us that a minute ago. How do you know that, sir?
Well, I got to be honest. I was listening to Fox News this morning on the way to work, and they mentioned that the Navy SEALs had gotten last night. So I've been so busy campaigning, I know all the details, but I liked everything in that clip. It's one thing about my Navy SEAL brothers and I have been kind of sickened by is that whole incident in Benghazi and how our guys were not answered.
That's terrible. It really is just unbelievable. That's a story that many of us, I certainly covered it faithfully, John, and one other area of injustice, really, and unresolved for all of us who knew the details of it, and that includes a lot of Americans. All right, John, let's talk a little bit. I mentioned a few minutes ago before we took the break about your wife. How did you meet your beautiful wife who has given you five children?
So I have a physical fitness company called SEAL Team Physical Training. And I have 55 instructors in five locations. And so we run 5Ks and do marathons and things like that. And I met her doing this program. We went snowboarding together and did things like that and kind of sparked an interest. And then, we dated for about 5 years and then we got married. And now we're empty nesters. Hard to believe. I guess time is flying.
It does happen. And the next thing you know, you'll be grandparents. So trust me. But you know what? It's actually pretty cool. So not to worry. I have to ask you, John, you had a very bad accident in 2006. And you broke your neck. I don't know if you can speak of that. I don't know what you want to say about that, except explain how that has affected what you're doing. But if you can say something about the accident, it would be good to know what happened to you.
Sure. So in 2006, in my experience as a Navy SEAL, I've jumped out of helicopters before they crashed. I've got 29 broken bones. And I've had some close calls. I had a guy shot beside me, less than 2 feet away. And you know, I've had some close calls, and I was doing a backflip on a trampoline in with my son in the backyard, and I landed on my neck, and I broke C4, and the bone stabbed my spinal cord, and I was completely paralyzed. And, you know, I don't know if this makes sense or not, but it took probably 5 minutes for the ambulance to get there, but it seemed like forever. I felt this huge feeling as if I had let everybody in my life down. It kind of makes me sick to kind of think about it a little bit. But yeah, I was completely paralyzed. Before my injury, I could do 21 finger pull-ups, and, you know, I was pretty strong at other things. And then all of a sudden I can't move arms and legs. So I get to the hospital. The surgeon tells my wife, tells Tracy, I will not make it through the night. And he says, if I do, I'll never use my arms and legs again. And, you know, my whole life has been about, it's not what you look like, it's what you fight like. And then whenever I mentor someone, I always say, don't let the world put limits on you, and don't put limits on yourself. We can all do more than we think, especially through our faith. And, you know, even though they were telling me I wasn't going to make it through the night, and I was in ICU and people around me were screaming and dying, I never had a doubt that I'd be okay. However, it did take me about a year to walk without a limp. And it took me about 3 years to turn ignition in my car. But the truth is, the whole time I was in ICU, when they're telling me I'm at my weakest and I'm not going to make it through the night, you know, I was there for weeks. I felt like I could lift up a mountain. And I really believed that, you know, God was keeping me strong until I could take care of myself. So, you know, I believe God's given me a second chance. And, you know, I want to use that second chance to improve our community, to serve.
Well, and that's... I just have to say, John, that's an incredible story. And I do think that when we are faced with horrible situations, whether it's the loss of a child or long-term illness, the loss of someone who we love, the loss of one of our body parts, or we have a choice, you know, we can crumble and we can become embittered and we can let it destroy us. But I do believe that God does not waste that tragedy if we turn to him, and you obviously did. Did you have a relationship with God before this?
Yes. I'll tell you what's interesting is I lived with many different families growing up, and some of them were Christians and some weren't. And it's the strangest things you remember as a child, but I remember one particular home that I was with for a short while. They had structure. Like, my responsibility every night was to sweep the kitchen floor. And to this day, I mean, it made me feel important and valuable. Even as silly as that might sound, I still remember that, you know, chore and that responsibility. And that's why I think children and even adults need structure and accountability and all those sort of things. But even when I left that, this foster home took me to church every Sunday and Sunday school. And so when I went to a home that didn't have Christianity, I would still pray by my bed every night before I went to bed. But I learned that, you know, you kind of learn that from, you know, imagine if you're a child and you have a set of rules that your entire childhood never change. But when you go from family to family to family, all the rules and expectations of what you can do and can't do change all the time. So you have to become adaptable. But I think that, you know, ever since I was a child, I've held on to my Christianity.
Yeah. All right. So then you've had these incredible experiences. And now you're going to be, you want to go on to serving the state of Virginia as a delegate, which is interesting. And I understand that you had a lot of people running in the primary. You prevailed in the primary. This is the general election. Why do you want to do this, John? Why this particular job?
Well, you know, one thing I've been doing for 9 months is I've been knocking on doors, which is, you know, you probably hear everybody say that's the way you run for office and you get to know the people. But one thing I've said every day is there's a war on common sense. And everybody, whether they're a Democrat or Republican or whatever, they laugh. But then they begin to have a conversation with me. And I actually have a clipboard where I write these things down. But they show me what can be improved in our community. And there's no way you would ever know these things if you didn't talk directly to store owners. You know, how are regulations impacting you directly? How are you as a taxpayer? What can we do better? And you can't please everyone, because that's a good way to fail as a leader. But by having an idea of what's important to people, you have a good gauge. So why do I want to do this? I think it's in my DNA to serve. You know, I want to be part of something bigger than me. I've got an incredible company where I train people in Rome, Malaysia, Argentina, all over the world, and it's incredible. But I could be a business owner the rest of my life, or I could be part of something bigger than me. And this is an opportunity to serve a chance to serve and also continue to do my business as well. So I want to improve our community so that our grandchildren or anyone else in the community has a better chance of finding a job. I want to support ideas that lower taxes, create jobs, better support our law enforcement. You might have heard me say that I think all Americans are probably sick of seeing police officers be disrespected around our country. If law enforcement went on strike right now, we would no longer have a country. And they certainly kept my family safe when I was serving on dangerous missions around the world.
So that's part of the motivation. And it is, I know in Illinois, at least at when I, that's my home state, legislators in Illinois work part-time and then were able to keep their jobs. And that's, I guess, the same arrangement, Virginia, right?
Yes, and I believe Thomas Jefferson and our forefathers, that was their idea, is that you would legislate January, February, March, and then you would live under the laws that you create, and therefore maybe would keep you in a check and balance situation. So it was created to be farmers, shopkeepers, doctors, lawyers, things like that. And what I've been told is the General Assembly in Virginia has become this big collection of lawyers, which nothing wrong with a lawyer. My brother's a lawyer and I love him. But I think you need fresh ideas and you need diversity. And I think I bring to the table what you mentioned is my experience in foster homes and my experience as a Navy SEAL for 10 years and as a 19-year business owner. And, you know, you can't be a business owner unless you're a problem solver. So I don't have to necessarily be an expert on medicine or an expert on transportation. But what I know is about being a leader and bringing the right people to the table and listening to them, learning from them, and then leading.
If people wanted to help you, what kind of help do you need?
So I guess November 7th is the big day. So number one is I need your prayers. And I understand your show has a big reach. Prayers are the reason I'm still here today for sure. So definitely want the prayers. If they live in our District 56, which is part of four counties, which is Henrico, Goochland, Louisa, and Spotsylvania, I could certainly use their vote or anyone they know and live in those areas. And they could contribute to our campaign. Certainly it costs money to get the message out and to pay your staff and things like that. We have a website. It's McGuire56.com. And a lot of people think I'm 56 years old, but I'm not. I'm 49 and I'm holding on to it.
good luck with that.
So McGuire is McGuire56.com for the 56th district. And I hope that I can make you proud. I know that whatever I do, it won't be me. It's going to be about we. And I think that one thing about being a Navy SEAL is we don't like the word I or me so much. It's about, you know, we or us. But I didn't get here by myself, and I'm going to need help. And, you know, one thing I've done is we've got to get Ed Gillespie. I heard you talking about it earlier. But we've got to get Ed Gillespie elected. We've got to get Vogel elected. We've got to get John Adams. So in the spirit of being a team player, every door I've knocked on, I've mentioned the top three candidates because we're going to have a tough time if Ed Gillespie doesn't win, because I guess he may know what went on with the current governor of Virginia. It's been kind of tough with him vetoing things in the General Assembly and usurping his power to try to get things done. And anyway,
whatever happened with him, Terry McAuliffe releasing all those felons to vote? Did they stop?
Well,
was that stopped?
That was not stopped. That was not stopped. And I got to tell you, that's terrible. I mean, remember I told you it was a war on common sense?
Yes.
You were talking about the Benghazi. You were talking about the Benghazi thing earlier, and you know, I can't quote this stuff very well, but apparently during the presidential election, WikiLeaks showed at the exact time when they were telling the public it was because of some video, at the exact time there were emails from Hillary Clinton talking to her family members saying it was a terrorist act. So one thing to your family and another thing to the public. It's just there's a war on common sense. It seems like certain, you know, people in power think that we're stupid. And I can't imagine. I mean, if, you know, you have thing in business, you have something called incentives and disincentives. You know, if there's no consequence for you being a felon, there'll be more felons. You know, and I think the Democrats are trying to get more voters, so that's why they're allowing felons to vote. It's just crazy.
You're talking, of course, to the whole country, John, not just Virginia, but you've traveled a bit. We only have a minute left here. Why do you think Virginia matters, should matter to the rest of the country?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, when I grew up, it was a red state. You know, Ronald Reagan, I never imagined that would be a purple state. And, you know, if you know, this election was a great surprise for Donald Trump to win. And but in 4 years, if these guys are doing everything they can to stop him from getting something done, you know, we're going to have another election in 4 years. And I think that we can't take anything for granted. So we've got to, you know, we've got to turn every state red that we can and hold the ground. So, you know, it's we got to hold the line. Virginia's a big part of holding the line. So we got to, together, not me, but we have got to help keep Virginia red.
Okay, John McGuire, former Navy SEAL, running for delegate, the 56th District. And the election is Tuesday, November the 7th, coming right up in a few days. And I think it probably could be safe to say, as Virginia goes, so goes the nation. Right now, I think that's actually pretty true because of its purple status. So, John, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for sharing your great story, and look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks so much for having me. Bye-bye.
All right, Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I'm Danica Rome. I'm running for office because my identity shouldn't be a big deal, because this shouldn't be newsworthy or political. This is just who I am. There are millions of transgender people in this country, and we all deserve representation in government. So when I stand up on the State House floor and the speaker says, "The gentlewoman from Manassas," LGBTQ kids everywhere will know they can succeed because of who they are, not despite it.
All right, so that is another district in Virginia, the 13th, where Danica Rome, who is a transgender candidate, is running against Bob Marshall. Now, Danica has not had surgery, is still a man physically, dresses as a woman, and in that ad, he is putting on makeup while he's talking about his identity shouldn't be part of the race, but of course, Danica's making it part of the race, and tens of thousands, if not millions of dollars are pouring into that district to help him get elected, because Barb Marshall, the other candidate who's held that position for a long, long time, he is the longest serving pro-life delegate in the House of Delegates in Virginia. Bob sponsored the same-sex marriage ban bill for Virginia and many, many other pieces of pro-life legislation. He's a champion and unapologetic, and so he's become the target. Now, Delegate Bob Marshall has been running a commercial about Danica Rome, and I want you to hear that before we introduce Bob. Let's listen.
Danica Rome is running for delegate in Virginia's 13th district. Danica has no record of public service, but does have a record of bad judgment. From a shocking bathroom video, to lewd behavior during interviews, to promoting transgender education in public school for children as young as 5 years old. Danica is not interested in our future. Danica is interested in Danica's future. Danica Rome, a record of bad judgment.
I am Bob Marshall, candidate for delegate, and I sponsored this ad.
All right, we're going to put both of those ads on our Facebook page so that you can view them both. And Delegate Bob Marshall joins me this morning. Good morning, Bob.
Hi, Sandy.
People could not see that ad, and so I'd love if you can find the words. You say shocking bathroom video. What are you talking about?
Well, it's behavior that used to be criminal a number of years ago that is suggested that takes place in a bathroom with my opponent, Danica Rome, coming out last after just some behavior that you really wouldn't want your kids to be seeing.
So the video shows that, at least part of it. And then I remember seeing a video that you showed, maybe you just showed me, I can't recall, Bob, where it's lewd gestures too. Dan is part of a hard metal band and was appearing as a man then, correct?
Yes, I guess he started what's called transitioning about 3 years ago, taking a series of hormone blockers, testosterone blockers and others, to mimic a woman. I mean, look, you cannot change your sex. You can change your appearance, you can change your mannerisms, but your sexuality is part of your very being, your physical being down to the molecular level. So you can't change that. Now, why that Democrats all of a sudden across the country are so anti-scientific and think you can change your sex is anyone's guess. I studied medical journals, the National Library of Medicine, for a 20-year period. There are no such conclusions. There are no such experiments pointing to that. There's only confusion in the minds of some of the proponents here.
Yes, and I have to say, because this is an issue that I know quite a bit about too, Bob, recent reports are telling us that there are an increasing numbers of reversals of the surgeries because at the other end of full transition is often just despair and loneliness because you cannot change, and then you become you're nothing. You're not fully a man. You're not fully a woman. You really are in a no man's land. And that's a concern that I think we both share. But here's the point. Dan is says he doesn't want to lead with his transgenderism, but he is leading with it. And let me just read a quote from a recent article in Breitbart. This was, all I know is her name was Moody Mills. I don't know where from. She said, "What we have seen ushered in is a vast degree of tolerance for bigotry, for hatefulness, frankly, since the November elections. And this is an opportunity for us in the LGBTQ community to push back and say, no, we're going to stand up against bad actors. We're going to make sure that we get rid of the people who do our community harm." And so Danica is really our first swing at the bat. Now, I don't know who she represents, but you are the bad actor, and you are the object of the first swing at the bat. Do you know how much money they have poured into your race yet?
So far, reported $802,000 for a job to pay $17,400 a year.
And how many constituents? Didn't you say you just have 80-something? Or did
about
I miss
80-some thousand. The biggest donor to Danica has come from a guy named Chris Abelli, who's the, I guess, CEO of the Milwaukee City Council. He gave, as of the report on, I guess, the 30th of October, $165,000. Now, all this is legal, but it clearly is an influence that is alien to Virginians.
Now, I'm curious, Bob, about, I think last we spoke, I asked you this question. I'm asking it again. The commercial that you're running is very well produced, very well done, but getting it heard and placed is a very different issue. Are you able to get that your commercial out so that people can actually see and hear it?
Whatever dollars roll in to me online or by check, but it's easier online because the money's actually in the bank and the check doesn't have to clear, I'm using for these efforts to get more airtime.
One of the things that you, I think you have pointed out, yes, I think you did in a Washington Post article, is that Dan, in an interview on WMAL, which is a big conservative talk station in the Washington, D.C. area, has been talking about how children need to be exposed to transgenderism. Can you say a word about that?
Well, Danica already, I mean, you know, his name used to be Dan. His middle name is still Anthony. He changed it legally, so I'll refer to him as Danica. But four times my opponent appeared before the Prince William County School Board in favor of adopting regulations that would apply from kindergarten to 12th grade, apply to staff and teachers. And included in that, behind that, was a threat from the ACLU that if you do not let someone who claims to be transgendered, which definition goes from somebody who simply has a mental reverie to somebody who goes to, you know, like a Walter Mitty episode, to somebody who actually goes and gets surgery, all those in between can be allowed to use whatever they, bathroom or shower or other facility that they want to. Now, Rome clearly knew what this was about. He testified four times in favor of this. On a radio program, he had to be cornered by a very good series of questions from WMAL correspondent to acknowledge that, in fact, this was an application of it. Rome was clearly uncomfortable doing this. Now, he didn't put this on his website or his Facebook, but I'm aware of it. It's about 400 pages, so it's a lot to read. But clearly, my opponent supports this. Now, it's very uneasy for him to have to acknowledge this. And one of these articles in the Washington Post said, well, this wasn't in his platform. Not being in your platform does not mean it's not in your agenda, because it is part of Mr. Rome's agenda. Men and women are the only two types of human beings. That is the human person. So that's the way we come, and that's the way we are, and there's no way to change that. You can change applications of it, but you can't change the fundamental reality.
Well, and the hard thing for you, Bob, is that the Republicans nationwide, really, for the most part, are unwilling, including in Congress, the leadership in Congress, unwilling to make this an issue. They go silent. They run. They turn tail and run. They will not fight for this common sense notion that bathrooms and dressing rooms should be assigned to boys and to girls, that boys should not be spending the night on field trips in girls' rooms and girls' facilities if they just feel like they're girls. We all know that. It reminds me of when Bill Clinton was president and we had a national debate over what lying was. Like, suddenly we had to rediscover, you know, what not telling the truth was all about. This is now, we're talking about something so basic to human understanding. But the Republican leadership won't fight for this, and that makes it a very lonely path for you, doesn't it?
Well, it's a task that has come to me, and it's one that I'm going to face. Although I tell you, I have received a fair amount of support from the House Republican Caucus, and I'm very pleased with that. And
you're speaking about in Virginia, the Virginia House.
In Virginia,
yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
And the spokesman for the Republican Party said, look, what people are upset about, and it's correct, is that Rome would compel 5-year-olds, regardless of whether the president or of whether you want this or not, because it's part of the curriculum, to be indoctrinated that a 5-year-old boy can become a 5-year-old girl or vice versa. And why do I say this is compulsory? It's because the ACLU is threatening to sue, and the Obama regulations, which are behind all this, said if it makes people uncomfortable, basically too bad, because this is a civil right. Well, it is not a civil right to masquerade your fantasies as reality. But standing up to this is somewhat difficult, because you get called all kinds of names. And if you're going to be shying away because somebody calls you a bigot or a transphobe or, you know, whatever it is, it probably is not something that you should attempt. But I've drawn a line. I'm not leading it, because, you know, I don't make the laws of nature, but I think I understand them, at least at this fundamental level. I never flunked biology, so I'm not going to call a man a woman, period.
Yeah, and because we can't, the laws of God cannot be altered, and this is one of those, he did create us after all, and I think that's the difference in our understanding, Bob. At the very heart of it is the lack of acknowledgement, or sort of thinking that we can go our own way apart from God's design. But we only have a few minutes left here. If people want to help you, how can they do that?
They should go to my website, delegatebob.com, and there's a way to make an online donation, and it would be very helpful and well spent, because we've got ads that if your listeners look at them, you can see they're very well done. They're done by very professional firms. The cinematography is good. The narrative is good. Number one, pray first. You know, pray, think, and act in that order. Pray about this, what to do. Go to my website. Please make a decision to make a donation, and we will execute, just like Moses and Joshua. You got two parts of that, you know, effort.
So, and just to be clear, again, the LGBT community spokesperson is making it very clear. We want to get rid of people who do our community harm, the bad actors. And Danica is really our first swing at the bat. So if you wonder why Virginia is important to all of us, well, that's the reason. The election is on Tuesday, and Bob Marshall is running for delegate against Danica Rome in the 13th District. And by the way, could I hasten to say that there's certainly no way we want Danica, we wish anything ill toward Danica Rome. We want her to be whole.
Let me just add this. To try to prevent individuals from applying actions to themselves, which result in 40% self-harm, even if you take these actions to go to this, you know, transgender approach, that's not hatred. That's love. I don't want my neighbor to do harm to themselves. So I do not want to facilitate, propagate, or in any way help people pursue a path of self-destruction, period.
Yeah, so, and there's a lot more at stake, of course. It is the future. There is such a battle still going on about this transgenderism. It was amazing to me, Bob, after the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage, how quickly, you know, homosexual activists used to never want to include transgender rights in their agenda because they didn't think that people would ever accept cross-dressing or female impersonators or whatever you want to, whatever moniker you want to give it. But there was a rush to do that, and now it's been fully embraced, and that is the next hurdle. And they've made great strides. We just heard this week that a judge is trying to stop President Trump from not permitting transgenders to serve in the military. So you can see that this whole issue has tremendous repercussions for the entire country, and the battle is taking place.
This is a logical corollary of the Supreme Court decision, which didn't even define marriage, but said that two guys or two women can engage in marriage. Well, why not three women? Why not four? So none of these questions were answered. They were glossed over. But this is now the working out of this ideology, this very harmful agenda, which is very destructive of the human family.
And the next battlefront is in Virginia this Tuesday. Delegate Bob Marshall will be anxious to hear what happens. So thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Sandy.
Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.